Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Leon Kurtz, the CEO of Jubilee Metals. Welcome back to the podcast, Leon.
Thanks for that, Paul.
The company reports increased production interruptions at its Rowan facilities in Zambia due to national power grid outages with no clear resolution timeline. The Sable refinery remains less affected, while Munkoyo and Project G mining operations are unaffected and on target. Jubilee is working with Zambian authorities to manage power disruptions and mitigate costs, but uncertainty persists regarding quarter two financial year 2025 production guidance. On its large waste project, Jubilee has extended due diligence to January 2025 and renegotiated acquisition terms, reducing the cost to $80 million from $30 million, with $11.5 million remaining payable. Just talk us through some of these issues you're facing regarding the production interruptions, please, Leon.
And as you said, yes, the announcement this morning puts into perspective some of the challenges that Zambia as a country is facing. And maybe just to give some further detail so people understand what it means and the impact on Jubilee, which is, of course, far less than on most other companies in Zambia. Jubilee holds its own access to private power. That means that our power demands are being supplied via a private power company, which is far less affected by the current power generation issues faced by Zambia. The difference between our Sable and our Rowan operation is that the Sable operation has a direct link or electricity line to the power plant, and therefore any grid instabilities, that's the grid through which power is supplied to the various companies, doesn't really impact Sable. Rowan, however, because of its distance from the private power company supplying us with power, received its electricity via the national power grid. And therefore, in certain circumstances where the national power grid becomes unstable or even collapses, as it has done, as shown in the media over the past 2 weeks, it means that Rowan's ability to receive electricity is impacted, even though the power is available via our private power company. That impact is an impact that is on Rowan, and therefore Rowan is reliant on a grid that is capable of transferring electricity to Rowan. It does not mean that Rowan is not operating. Rowan, of course, continues to operate. It continues to drive it really hard, Rowan, but it does suffer from unannounced, unexpected power outages when this grid becomes unstable and electricity is suspended in the supply into Rowan. What we are doing as a counter is engaging with the national power supply or grid manager of Zambia to at least give us forewarning. During those instances, we can manage to turn down Rowan and bring Rowan back up into operation, which allows us to reduce the impacted operational time when these events come through. We have no doubt that we'll be successful in getting to a position where we are pre-warned and therefore can manage far more effectively these downtimes. It still means that irrespective of this power, we are pushing Rowan as it steps up its operations. We have no doubt Rowan will continue to increase its operations quarter on quarter. But it does put into challenge our ability to give accurate guidance for the operation of Rowan specifically during a time when the grid does suffer from these instabilities. And we are working towards overcoming this challenge as well in Zambia, as we've done with every other challenge in Zambia. And that is the sort of context of the electricity challenge we face in Zambia.
Mm. How much of the guidance on copper was going to be coming from Rowan, and how much was going to be coming from Kabwe?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, with Rowan stepping up and it's its first quarter, which was expected to run at full capacity, it was at least going to be more than half of our copper production is Rowan. Rowan is still producing, of course, but yeah, roughly about half of the copper production was going to be Rowan, as Sable, of course, is being fed more and more by Munkoyo and Project G, as those two operations are running quite well.
Okay, so what is happening then at Sable then? We're not having the same problems at Sable at all?
Yeah, the Sable is running unaffected for now. It is electricity supply is continuous thanks to its direct coupling to the private power plant, and therefore it's less affected when these national instabilities happen across Zambia.
Yeah, because the power supply is actually in Kabwe, isn't it? That's the company that you've contracted is right next to Sable.
Oh, quite correct. It's the advantage of the private power company we secured is that its location, its connection to Sable. And of course, the background is the acceleration now of the expansion of that power company through its solar power installation to further expand its private power supply capacity. The challenge remains the grid. So it's when you have to extend and supply power across the national grid to your remote operations.
The funny thing is, speaking to Zambians, this has almost never happened in their history, or certainly in the last 10, 15 years. This drought situation that's happened basically because of El Nino, or that's what they're saying as a weather condition. It hasn't happened, and that's why they've been so reliant on this type of power, you know, the use of the hydropower. So what do you think they're going to do going forward? I mean, is this a likely scenario going forward, or really is this a blip that really nobody could have read into?
Excellent, Kevin. No, quite correct. I mean, this is not something that is common at all in Zambia. In fact, as you said, most companies have never experienced countrywide blackouts in Zambia at all. The government's approach is, of course, is on the one hand, expansion of solar power, but also importing electricity from Mozambique and from the north. It is also a bit of a compounding effect. Mozambique is going through some of its own challenges post the elections, and that has also resulted in intermittent electricity from Mozambique. So that compounding effect, together with the drought, as you've said, has brought together quite a unique set of circumstances in Zambia. But as we said, the government is addressing it through increasing its ability to import electricity into Zambia, and equally also expanding solar power, backup power systems in Zambia to address it. And most companies, in fact, most private companies, much like we are doing, are accelerating the installation of solar power as a support electricity to the grid.
Yeah. Do we know what the weather conditions are like in Zambia? Has it started to rain? Have we started to have a rainy season yet? Because last year it sort of started and then didn't get going, and that was one of the problems.
Yeah, I mean, we've entered the rainy season in Zambia. Definitely, rain has commenced. It really, the raining really starts stepping up towards the latter part of December and expected into January. But the good news is the rainy season has in fact commenced in Zambia.
Good. Okay, so tell us a little bit about what's happening in South Africa then, just as a fillet, and then also want to talk about the waste project as well.
Oh, sure. I mean, South Africa is doing well. South Africa is a mature operation. It's running really well. It's going great guns. And we fully expect to meet our targets in South Africa.
Okay. And in terms of the waste project up in Mafalera direction, and obviously we drove past this, it's a huge area of piles and piles of waste, and I presume run of mine ore in some cases as well. What have you managed to negotiate here that is better than it was before?
Well, I suppose, I mean, as life always teaches oneself, is that every crisis offers an opportunity. And within the crisis, within Zambia, within the portfolio of what is Zambia, we were successful in negotiating enhanced or improved commercial terms around the outright acquisition of that very large waste rock project. As you say, 260 million tons of rock on surface is a very, very large mountain of material that exists. And Jubilee, as we told the market, we are confident that we will be able to extend the due diligence period to end of January to allow our team to complete its full review of that project. But equally at the same time, we use the opportunity to negotiate commercial terms that are better than what initially was indicated to the market last year, December. And those commercial terms meant that we were able to significantly reduce not only the outright acquisition value of this project, but also to allow the payment terms to be more linked towards the potential implementation of the project, which meant that the settlement of the acquisition value will be stretched across 12 months. And also significantly is of that acquisition value of $18 million, we as Jubilee has already covered roughly about $6 million, $6.5 million of that acquisition value. So it's a very small amount that actually remains for the outright ownership of that project as we complete our due diligence.
And then what is the next step if that all goes to plan with IRH then?
The next plan really is the implementation of what we call the front ends or the front end modules, as what Rowan now operates, is to implement those modules across that property. And to address this power, we will look to initially have the power done through generated power or at site, but also due to its proximity, it is very close to the Konkola mines, which has a very, very large power infrastructure to tap into on that project, which allows our private company to wheel, is the term, the electricity to that project as well. So yes, on the completion of the due diligence really is the acceleration and the implementation of those modules onto that project.
What is the financial step then that IRH will do? Have IRH actually paid any money to Jubilee yet to help in terms of the getting the process facility started, or that has yet to happen?
Yeah, so that's all linked towards the completion of the due diligence phase. And in fact, it actually plays into our favor because the project has significantly enhanced commercial terms. It's significantly de-risked. So the commercial investment around that project is something that will be reviewed as well because of where we were 8 months ago and where we are today on that project.
So basically this saving that you've made from $30 million to $18 million is all going to benefit Jubilee.
Absolutely.
Because Jubilee has to pay that fee and then IRH is going to come in on the back of that.
Very much. I mean, we've negotiated this to the benefit of Jubilee and the project to reduce the entrance requirements. And it also means that if investment now flows into this project, a far greater portion of your investment is towards the implementation of the project rather than the acquisition of the project, which enhances the commercial value of the project significantly.
Very good. So if you were to give us a figure, which is almost impossible, I know, but I'm going to ask the question anyway, how much of Rowan's capacity do you think is likely to be available in the next few months?
When you, just to be clear on the question, I mean, really, it's very much dependent on the electricity and how the grid is stabilized. I expect the grid to be addressed by government over the coming 4 to 6 weeks. I suspect there will be significant interventions through government, through the import of electricity that allows the availability of electricity to stabilize and Rowan can then run at its full capacity. We have, as we told the market, ramped it up to full capacity, demonstrated it can run at full capacity. We just now need the availability of that facility, which is pretty linked to electricity.
And my final question, and the two projects that are there close to Kabwe, yes. Or certainly one of them is close to Kabwe. What sort of progress are we making there? Is all coming out of that to head its way to the processing?
Oh, yeah, very much. I mean, Munkoyo is running to full guidance. Munkoyo's next key implementation, of course, is the leaching trials currently underway at Munkoyo, and those results are expected quite shortly. That'll be the next step up for Munkoyo, and equally with Project G. It is operating, it's delivering its material to Sable as expected.
Okay, all good. So just as a follow-on question there, the leaching at Munkoyo, is that going to mean that you will effectively create yourself a copper solution that will be then sold so that won't actually go to Sable?
What it does mean is that you're quite correct that first and foremost, the leaching solution dramatically increases the amount of copper extracted at Munkoyo into solution. That solution then can have one of two routes. It can either be refined at Sable if remaining capacity exists at Sable, or it'll be sold into the market. The immediate now is it'll be refined to final copper plate at Sable. That's the immediate target.
Okay, great. Thanks for your time, Leo, and we look forward to speaking to you shortly. And just as a throwaway question, are you guys going to be down at Indaba in South Africa?
Certainly, some of our colleagues will definitely be there.
Very good. Look forward to seeing you down there then, hopefully.
Thank you, Kevin.
Leon Carter, CEO of Jubilee Metals, thanks very much for appearing on the podcast.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.